Thank you for taking the time to visit us online. We would love to meet you in person, so here's some information just for you. Sunday school begins at 9:30 a.m., and our worship service begins at 10:30 a.m., and this is all happening at 6310 Lyons Road, Garland, Texas. We hope that you enjoy this message by Pastor Troy DeFeo. Have a great day.
Father God, that's exactly our prayer today, is allowing the Holy Spirit to be in this place. We pray that your presence, Lord, would just enter each of our hearts, that God, that we will be filled with your presence, your joy, with your compassion, with your love, and with your grace. Lord, we are compelled, Lord, to try to understand what a glimpse of your glory would even look like and be like for us. It is my prayer that, Lord, each one of us here will hear your words, will hear your truth, would be motivated each and every day to live a life that's worthy, that lives a life that is honoring, that lives a life that desires for their eternal inheritance to look different. I pray that, Lord, that each one that you brought here today would never walk out of here not knowing that they were meant for purpose and meant to spend eternity with you. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you for this Holy Spirit that's here today. And we just ask that, God, that your words would speak to each one of us. In Christ's name, amen. Well, good morning. It is great to see you here, and thank you so much for making Living Hope your place of worship this morning. This morning, I want to be able to start off a new series by talking about one of the greatest mysteries of our life. And depending on if you're a believer or not, the whole idea of what happens to you after you die, for many are a mystery. For many people, they have questions. Even up till their point, until their last breath has been taken. But for those that are believers in Christ, for those of us that have gotten a glimpse of understanding what the scriptures or what this great book has said, there's great promise for those who know. But we still wrestle with it. We still wonder. We still speculate, because we're only given just a glimpse. Just a glimpse of what his glory is going to really be like. And so this summer, I want to spend some time talking about the glimpses of what we see, of what's waiting for each and every single one of us. See, the thing is, we don't have to wait till a funeral to get a glimpse of where that person has went. And the people that might have already gone before us, and friends and loved ones and spouses and stuff, I want you to understand that you get a little bit of a glimpse, you get that hope, knowing that someday you will be reunited with those people again. And that brings us great, just a cheerful thing. One of my greatest verses that I have is in John 17:24, when he basically tells us that he asked his father, that his father, I want them to be where I am. I want them to be where I am always. And I hope that that will be your verse too, that someday that you'll want to be with the Lord Jesus Christ for all of eternity. See, that we just get a glimpse through singing. I mean, I could listen to our praise team sing all day. Amen. And if you don't like to worship, heaven may not be your place, because we are going to be worshiping the Almighty God for all of eternity. The reason why we're here today is to prepare us for what's going to happen later on in life. It's going to be awesome. But we only get that glimpse of what it's going to be like. This morning, I want to take you to just another glimpse of his glory. If you'll turn with me to Luke chapter 9, verse 28. I want to take you this morning to a mountaintop experience that only three men got to experience. It's called the Transfiguration, Luke 9:28. One of God's favorite sounds is listening to the scriptures and listening to his word and the shuffling of pages. I think that may be probably one of his favorite sounds of all. At least that's what I think. Listening to his pages move, knowing that we are now entering into his presence. We are entering into God's word. Luke 9:28, it says this. Now it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings that he took Peter, John, and James and went up onto a mountain to pray. First of all, we need to understand that one of Jesus' most favorite thing that he did every single day, all throughout his day, is that he prayed without ceasing. He was constantly in communion with his Father, always going to his Father for wisdom, for strength, to be able to communicate, to talk, to be about his Father's business, even from the time of age 12 when we talked about that. And his parents were wondering, where have you been? I've been about my Father's business. And so he's constantly at age 30 and 31 and 32 and 33, he's always about this mission, about being about his Father's business. And so now he's got a few people with him. And it says, now it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings. What are these sayings? If you would have to look back at some of the greatest scriptures in all of the Gospels to look back at what some of those great sayings were. Jesus spent some time talking about some of the most important things that we need to know before we go into his presence. Before we spend eternity with him, he's trying to get you prepared for some of these things. So he said, within these 8 days, I have some things I want to share with you, but don't forget about these sayings. In verse 9:23, if we were to back up, it says, if anyone desires to come after me, it means follow me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Those were some of his sayings. That was one of the important sayings. Jesus is never going to force your hand to follow him, to love him, to give to him, to serve him, to go to church, to serve in the church, to do missions, to do ministry, to teach, to serve in BBS, to give an offering. He's never going to force your hand to do something like that. He says, if anyone desires, if anyone chooses to follow me. So it starts right there where we have to decide, and these disciples had to decide. Jesus called these people out. He called these 12, but they all had an obligation. They all were busy with doing other things, right? They all had responsibilities. It's not like they were all just sitting out at this bus stop waiting for Jesus to come by and say, hey, since you have nothing to do with going on right now for the rest of your life, why don't you just come and follow me right now for the rest of your life? It's not the way it works, and it's not the way it works for us. We all have to stop. We all have to decide. We all have to choose. We all have to have the desires to say if we're going to follow him and deny ourselves and take up our cross, take up our sacrifices, give up the things that we know that we got to give up to give to him. What was another verse he said? Verse 9:26. For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, and him, the Son of Man, will be ashamed when, hold on to that, he comes in his own glory and his Father's and in the holy angels. For whoever is ashamed of me and my words. I think about that in my own life. If there's times that I don't deny myself, if there's times I don't pick up my cross, if there's times that maybe I'm going to stay quiet and not willing to do what I got to do to stand up for the Lord. See, Jesus here says, you can either stand up for me, you can speak for me, you can accept me, you can deny me, you can follow me, you can let me into your life, or you can choose to reject me. You can choose to reject me. See, there's a teacher friend that works with Jamie that everybody was giving money into a shower present. And it had a religious card in it. And she was just telling me about this the other day. It had this religious thing in it. And she chose not to put the money in the card because it had something to do with, hey, we're praying for you and wishing you the best for your child. And she said, I wanted you to know that I gave, but I just didn't want to put it into the card because it had something to do with God in there. We can choose to follow him or we can choose to reject him. See, the key word is this, is when. For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory. The key word is when. It's not if he comes to meet me in my glory. It's going to happen. Hebrews 9:27 says, just as people are destined to die once and after that to face judgment. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body. While we are alive right now, whether good or bad, the Greek word here means of light. Meaning that how you live your life right now, each and every day, there is a reward that's waiting for you. The judgment seat, the bema seat of Christ. And how you live your life, whether good or of bad, of light, meaning that you get rewards or you get loss of rewards, the recompense is what it's called, of how you live. Each and every single day. How do we live each day in our life? So Luke is saying about 8 days of hearing these eternal truths from Jesus our Lord, he takes up Peter, John, James, and he goes up onto the mountaintop to pray. And the scholars believe, there will be a picture here, they believe, and there's dispute about this, between really 2 to 3 different types of mountaintops. Many people believe that it's actually, scholars believe it's Mount Tabor, that where this transfiguration had taken place. Mount Tabor. Others believe that it might have been on the lower slopes of Mount Hermon, but no one really knows exactly. And this is a picture of Mount Tabor. It's less than 1,900 feet. It doesn't have any snowy caps, so some people don't believe that that's it. They believe it may be Mount Hermon, where because there's a lot more snow on this particular one. But there is controversy between really those two of where this actually took place. But many scholars believe that is actually on the top there. It's a little less than 1,900 feet where the actual transfiguration actually took place. I want you to take a glimpse of that. It's going to be a mountain that looks somewhat like that. What he's going to take, Jesus Christ, is going to leave everybody else down on the ground, the rest of his disciples, other people that are trying to make decisions and choose whether they want to follow him or not. But Jesus says, I have a divine appointment. I want to take you with me up on top of this mountain. I want you to see something. I want you to see something. James, Peter, John. Even his brother Andrew was not even invited. Andrew even introduced Peter to Jesus Christ. But Andrew, even being a part of the top four, the leadership, Jesus said, I want to take you three. You three. I'm kind of picturing what Andrew's thinking. Man, I'm the one that introduced you to Peter. Come on, man. I don't get to go. It's these three, man. These three get to be picked out for some apparent reason. There's lots of different reasons why them three got to go. You can speculate. Scholars have different reasonings because these are the main three leaders. These are his inner circle. But the main thing is Jesus says, I want to take you three to see something. Try to get your mind wrapped around this experience. See, a lot of times we read these scriptures and we just move on really, really quickly. And we just kind of, we don't really think about the amazing of what has happened here. Try to wrap your mind around what your experiences are, what your mountaintop experiences with God has been. Do you have any? Do you have any mountaintop experiences in your life that you could look back on? Are you looking forward to some more of in your life? I think that's something that we should be looking forward to each and every day, that not only do we get to have this abundant life, but we also get to have this eternal life that's waiting for us. What are your mountaintop experiences that you can look back on and you say, man, I remember when God did this in my life. I remember when God used me right here. I remember how happy I was. I remember how joyful I was. I remember that was the point that I could look back, and that's what changed my life. What was your mountaintop experiences? For me, I had several of them. I can look back and I can see hanging out with musician with Wes King back in the day. I got to hang out with Wes King. He was a singer. I think I got him up there. He was a great singer. He sang a lot, done lots of concerts. I remember singing on stage with Billy Sprague. I got to have eat pizza with Billy Sprague and just have dinner with him for like 2 to 3 hours. And then he invited me up on stage, and I got to sing one of my favorite songs that Billy Sprague sang. And I was horrible. I threw the whole concert off. I mean, it was terrible. But it was like the coolest thing in the world, because I got to sit down and eat with this guy and then sing with this guy. And then, I mean, these two are like some of my, back in the day, early 90s, were some of the people that really got me close to the Lord. And those were like top, just magical experiences for me. I remember going and sitting at Texas Tech and knowing that Max Lucado was coming in and reading. That was my very first book, God Came Near, when I just became a Christian. And I didn't even know really what all that meant. But then all of a sudden I got to go and I got to listen to Max Lucado and him share one of his sermons. And then later on I found out that it was in one of his books. I remember when I became a Christian, and then 1 week later they said, hey, I know you don't like really talking in front of people. You're right, I don't. Okay, but we really would like for you just to share your testimony. I mean, like 5 minutes, it's no big deal. There'll probably be just a few people there. I was like, okay. So a week later, then about 100 people showed up. 100 kids showed up for this youth camp experience. And knowing that some gave their life to Christ, it was kind of a mountaintop experience. I remember up here when my two kids gave their life to Christ and was baptized behind me. That may be the greatest of all, next to me receiving Christ, was watching my two kids give their life to Christ and being baptized. I don't have pictures of those. Oh, I do, but sometimes in real life, you don't get snapshots of everything that God does. It's okay, it's not posted on Facebook or Instagram. Most of the good ones will never be posted in your life, because it's the everyday things that you can see that God showed up right there and allowed you to see his glory, that just said, you know what, I'm going to keep this one in my heart. Maybe only a few people get to see this one. What is it for you? What is your mountaintop experiences been for you? Let's go back to the story. 29, as he prayed. It's good to know that he didn't just go up there and say, hey, we're going to pray. What did he do? He prayed. It's good to say, hey, I'm going to pray for you, and you actually do it. How many times have someone said, hey, would you pray for me? Uh-huh. And you don't even think about it through the rest of the day, maybe 3 days later, and you're wondering, I wonder if those people ever really did pray for me. Will you do me a favor? Next time someone asks you to pray for them, will you go back to them later on that day and say, I just want you to know I prayed for you? They will probably freak out. They will. Most of them will probably freak out. They'll say, you really did? Because most people, it's a part of our human nature, because we love them. Yes, we will. Even when I send out the email, hey, will you pray for these people? Some of these people are saying, will you really pray for me? Because I know the power of God, and I need it right now in my life. And I'm not just saying this for the fun of it. I need you to pray for me. Would you follow up just like Jesus did and say, hey, we're really going to pray. We're really going to have some prayer time right now. He was teaching them how to pray. As he prayed, the appearance of his face was altered. I can only imagine. And his robe became white and glistening. And behold, two men talked with him. I thought there was only three up there. And behold, two men talked with him who were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of the decease which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and those with him were heavy with sleep, and when they were fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Some people would even say, you're atheists, you're agnostics, you're deists, the people that struggle with this. Well, they were probably just sleeping. This didn't really occur. It's pretty amazing that they all had the exact same dream. Then it happened as they were parting from him. Then Peter said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. And let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Elijah and Moses, two people up there. Of all the people that could have come back, of all the people that they decided to show up on that mountaintop, Enoch should have been there. Enoch never experienced death. Elijah never experienced death. I mean, Enoch would walk so closely to God that he just went up. That would be a cool way to go, right? He should have been there. Noah, Joseph, John the Baptist, Abraham, King David. The list goes on and on of all these men and godly women that we could look at that should have been up on that mountaintop. But why them two? And I love what Peter says. I love his quote in verse 33. Master, it is good for us to be here. This may be the understatement of the year. Maybe of the 2,000 years. It is good for us to be here. Yeah, it is. I brought you here. I wanted you to see something that no one else is going to ever see. No one else is going to experience. Heaven is going to open up to you, and you're going to catch a glimpse of my Father's glory. It's good that we're up here. I remember saying these words somewhat like this. When I was having a three-hour lunch with my family, listening to one of my dad's friends who kind of knows, Jim Lavelle. And Jim Lavelle, he was the one that was handcuffed to Lee Harvey Oswald right after John F. Kennedy was assassinated. And then Lee Harvey Oswald, while he was handcuffed, also got shot. I remember kind of saying something like that. This is amazing. I can't believe this guy is sitting in our house and we're having lunch with him and his wife. As a history teacher, this is a great history lesson for me. This is something it probably will never ever happen again. Why Peter? Why James? Why John? Why these two men, Elijah and Moses? Why my family got to sit and have lunch with Jim Lavelle and his wife? And I started to think about it, in all of these circumstances, it's because the Father set it all up. The Father set it all up. And the same thing that goes for our life right now, God says, I know the plans I have for you. I have lots of life-changing events for you. I have lots of things planned for you. I want you to experience this John 10:10. It's not a one-time thing that you're going to catch God's glory. You're going to get a glimpse of God's glory if you're staying in His will. You're going to catch His many of events. I believe that's where that John 10:10 comes from, where He says, I'm going to give you life, and I'm going to give you life to the full. It's an abundance of life. See, Moses, from the baby, he was protected by the hand of God. Even as a sinner, as a murderer, you can look at your life and say, can God still use me? Even when I mess up, well, God used Moses and he was a murderer. God used David and he was a murderer. God uses all sinners because we're all born into sin. And he's not through with us. He said, I have a plan for all of you. And God still used him and freed the Hebrews out of Egypt from Pharaoh. Moses, on top of this mountaintop experience, was given the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. Why was Moses there? Moses was there to represent the law of God. Elijah, considered the greatest of all prophets in the Old Testament in Israel, he won victory over hundreds of false prophets who were worshiping Baal. Guess what? On top of a mountain, which one? Mount Carmel. He said, I'll tell you what, sacrifice the bull. Sacrifice the bull. You call upon Baal, you call upon your gods. And if he comes, I'll believe. All these people are watching. Hundreds of prophets, false prophets are watching. And they're all calling out, and they're all calling out, and they're all waiting and waiting and waiting. And you know what? Elijah is mocking them. He's making fun of them. It's one of the funniest reads of all times. If you ever want to see someone sarcastic in a spiritual, cool way, read this story in Elijah. He's making fun of these people. Amen. It is funny. And they're not coming. Nothing's happening. He said, I'll tell you what, drench it. Drench it again. Drench it one more time. And then he calls upon Jehovah God. And it consumes. So he calls upon the name of the true living God. Moses was up there. Elijah was up there. What was Elijah doing? He was fulfilling the prophecy of all prophets. Moses, to represent the law of God. I want you to think about the last party you ever went to. The last party that you might have gone to. Here you got Jesus, Peter, James, John, Moses, and Elijah on top of this mountain experience. It is good for us to be here. Yep. That would be a day. That would be a cool day. How many was up there, did I say? Six. In the Jewish gematria, numerology, six represents what? Man. Did you know that every single one of those were all sinful? Every single one of them carried sin on their back, but had God in their heart. And you may be thinking, Jesus, he took your sin. And he was God. But don't forget about the other person. There's one more. His glory opened up. And God's about to speak. There's your number seven. Don't forget about the gematria, the numerology of what number seven represents. Divine, perfection, completeness. Divine, perfection, completeness. This is God's number. At this time, you now have seven. If you're wondering why the others were not invited, I don't know. I just know that we see the prophecy being fulfilled. We see God's commands are there. And we see the glory of God that's showing up with his leaders. His leaders from the Old Testament and his leaders in the New Testament. A completion of the old and the new has now come into God's glory. Verse 33, 34. I'll get through this, guys. Then it happened as they were parting from him. Then Peter said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here, and let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And watch this part. Not knowing what he said, meaning, oh my goodness, you just spoke out. Not knowing what he said. Did he say something wrong? For a while he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were fearful as they entered into the cloud. Peter was shooting off his mouth. He was just reacting to some of the most amazing thing he had ever just witnessed in his life. I imagine, have you ever witnessed something in your life and you just said something, or you were just ready to do something, or you might have gone on a mission trip and you're like, okay, I'm moving here right now. You don't even react. That's okay, my kids will come anyway. That's fine. They have to do whatever I say. You know, I don't care if we're in the hanging out with the Incas. Okay, well, what about your wife? I'm sure she'll come too. No, he's just so excited. Have you ever been there where you're just so excited because something amazing had just happened? And that's what Peter's doing right here. He's just reacting. He's just saying. But he doesn't realize, not knowing what he had just said. And then all of a sudden, God interrupts him. The seventh person, the Holy One, Jehovah God, Elohim, the great I Am, is speaking. What was his idea? It was to build three tabernacles, three tents. And during the Jewish time, it was customary. It was customary. If any time it was to build a tent to be able to stay, it was a remembrance, saying, we're going to stay here and we're going to worship. I'm going to be here. I want to stay in this place forever. And if we're not staying here, then we got three tents, so we're going to come back and we're going to revisit this over and over and over. Have you ever done that where you just want to go back? There's so many times I go back to Frontier Ranch in Buena Vista over and over because I want to relive that situation, or go to Pine Cove because that's where I gave my life. And I said, I want to revisit that. Or maybe it's here at Living Hope. I want to keep coming on Sunday because I want to revisit what I experienced that last week. And that's what he was doing. He was just speaking out, not knowing what he said. I mean, there's times that we do that. There's times we speak too quickly, not thinking of how we say it and what we say. I know I have. I've asked a lady how much longer she had until her baby, and she wasn't pregnant. My wife told her music teacher her decorations in the cafeteria was the best in years. She loved it. And the lady said, I didn't do it this time. The art teacher did it. Eric told a man, I met your mom earlier. He said, that wasn't my mom, that was my wife. It happens. And not to the best of us, but it happens. I made sure my wife was okay. I didn't care about Eric. We can vote which one's worse, by the way. Yeah, probably. Last night, man, we spent some time just talking as a family because we had family night and game night, and we sat around the table. If you ever want to be humbled, go around the table and say, hey, what's my weakness? Where do I need work on in my life? That will humble you. Because it's funny, because the kids are like, really, we get to answer this? And that will humble you. Sometimes we just say things. Sometimes we just do things. But if you want to be humbled and you want to see where you are falling short of God's glory, play that fun game. We were all like, it was funny because Pierce probably spoke up and he said, let's talk about something good now, you know? Yeah, let's do. Let's end it off on a good note. But Peter was, he had a grand idea. But God interrupted him. I wonder how many times Almighty God needed to interrupt us. How many times he probably needed to tell Troy, don't go there. Don't say that. Don't do that. That's not a good idea. I love your heart. I love your passion. I get where you're trying to go here. But the problem is that that's not my plan. That's your plan. That's not my will, that's your will. That's not my desire, but that's your desires. See, I don't think he sinned. I don't think he did anything wrong. He was doing what was customary. He did what was right on his heart. But sometimes we got to stop long enough and we got to say, is this what you want, God, with my life? But the reason why he said what he said and God interrupted him is because it's what happens in life today. It's what happens in life. We look at people with such high esteem, elevation. We glorify others. We glorify actors, sports people, Jim Lovells, politicians, Billy Grahams, Max Lucado, Mother Teresa, the Pope, other Christian speakers and preachers and singers, people that we're in awe of, people that we're like, wow, man, if I could only meet this person. Wow, this is amazing. This is this and this and this. And this is what Peter and them were doing. Let me build the ark. Let me build this tent for them. Let me build this tabernacle for them. It's amazing that Jesus is with Elijah and was with Moses. Man, I've been hearing about these people forever. And God's like, hold on a second. Love the idea a little bit. I can see where you're going, but that's, you got this all wrong, Peter. See, these Old Testament people were not there to be worshipped. They were there to bring fulfillment of God's glory. A healthy perspective is to always to look at men and women, sinners, men and women, from the past, in the future, in our present now, and to not elevate them. That way you never have to worry about when they let you down, because they're going to let you down. Don't elevate those people. They're just people. Something I'm trying to learn every day. In verse 35 says, "This is my beloved son. Hear him." This is what God interrupted Peter saying. "This is my beloved son. Hear him. Listen to him." He doesn't say, "Listen to me." Notice who he says. Listen to him, to Jesus. God Almighty. The one that Jesus sat right next to when he was creating you, when he was creating God. I mean, when he was creating Moses, when he was creating Elijah, when he was creating Noah, when he was creating Sarah, when he was creating Mary, when he was creating John the Baptist, when he was creating all of us. Listen to Jesus. This expression comes from the Greek language, agapatos. Agapatos means my beloved one, my chosen one. Listen to him. Listen to him. It's also the Greek present imperative language, meaning it's ongoing. It's the Greek present imperative language, meaning ongoing. Ongoing. When he said listen to him, he didn't say, "Hey, while we're up on this mountaintop, this would be a good time to listen to him. All that other time before that, don't worry about it. All the time after that, don't worry about it. Everything's going to say, don't worry about it. This is the time right now that I want you to listen." That's not what it is. This imperative, this Greek word, is actually saying nonstop, every single day, listen to him. When you're trying to seek wisdom, when you're trying to figure out what to say, what to do, listen to Jesus. Stay in prayer. Remain in his word. It's ongoing. When I tell my kids, "Listen to me," I don't mean just listen to me now. I mean, I want you to listen to me 5 minutes from now and tonight and tomorrow and the next day until I'm dead, you keep listening to me. When I'm at school, when I tell those kids, "Silencio," be quiet, listen to me. I don't mean just right now. I mean, while you're in my class, every day you show up, listen to me until the bell rings. Then you can mess up Mr. Lutz's class. I teach with Mr. Lutz. God's saying, "Listen to my beloved and chosen one. I'm sanctifying you. I'm renewing you every day. I want you to listen to me right now in the valley. But I also want you to listen to me while we're on this mountaintop. I want you to listen to me in all situations. Wherever I have you, whatever you're doing or you're about to do or not going to do, whenever you're about to make decisions to live for me or not live for me, with however much time I give you here on earth, listen to me. Listen to Jesus. See, our time is limited. 2 Corinthians 5:10, I said it before, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due for the things done while in the body, whether good or in light." What will heaven look like for you? What will heaven look like for you? As I close, I don't want you to miss the connection to truly hear what God is saying. I was thinking about this, one of my favorite things, but I don't have one. I'm glad my dad's here to hear this, is a train set. And I think about the train set. I believe the train is God. We can fix it you ever got like a train set and you just go and you can fix it all up and you get this big old box and you get the tracks and you build up your city and your village and all the trees and everything, you build it up and it's all beautiful. And I think the tracks are the people. But the problem is that in life, we got all these tracks, but there may not be a train on the track of your life. And if you don't know really what I'm talking about, is if you have kids or if you don't have kids, but go and give somebody a box with the train set. Let them fix it up. Matter of fact, help them out. And then walk out with the train. Just leave them with the tracks. And watch and see how long it takes for that kid to sit there and figure out, what am I supposed to do with these tracks? It won't take long before they figure out that something's missing. I believe that God wanted these people, these six, to come up there, these leadership people, to continue from what the Old Testament was doing, to continue to live out the New Testament through the leadership, through John and James and Peter, and through us. Each one of us is a track. But the problem is that a lot of times we keep that train in the box. And we never get to see the enjoyment, what it's really like, because it's missing. We've kept it in that box. And that's life. And it's life for most of this world. I want to say it again, John 10:10 was to come and to give life to the full. I could not imagine having a train track without a train and watching it do what it's supposed to do. And I couldn't imagine, and neither could God, watching all these tracks and not having a train in your life to take you to places that you've never gone before, to do the things that He wants you to do. Are you willing to connect your life with others to let God appear to them? Have you asked Him to come aboard into your life? Not having Jesus and leaving it in a box of your life, I think will shut down every blessing to be able to see a glimpse of His glory. See, God wants you to have a glimpse of His glory every day. Whether it's in the mountaintop or whether it's in the valley, His glory is to be seen and to be worshiped and to be honored. Not anybody else, but Jesus alone. Let's pray. Our Father God, we thank You just for the opportunity to maybe to catch a glimpse of what Your scriptures are saying. Father God, we thank You, Lord, for the opportunity just to know that You have a plan for each one of our lives. That God, that we're not just a set of tracks that's never meant to have something run on us, through us. I ask that God, that if anyone here has been keeping You in a box, I pray that today would be the day that they take it out. I pray that today would be the day that the Holy Spirit would come and show them what their life was meant to be with You in it. I pray that each day that we can catch a glimpse of Your glory. I pray that we don't leave here today not understanding that you have great purpose for us. Father, each day I pray that we can just imagine of what eternal life is going to be like, that each and every single day that we live for that. Because how we live our life is what is going to be different about our glory, about our heavenly ways, that where we're going to spend eternity. And we know that every single one of us is going to meet you. You've told us that. You promised us that. That we're all going to appear before you. No one's coming with us. We're all going to stand alone. But I pray today that everybody walks out of here and says, man, I don't want to be an empty track. I don't want to be an empty soul. I hope that we can imagine what your presence will look like today. In Christ's name, amen.